Welcome to the Real Facts on Real Estate podcast, presented by Sean Patrick Moloney. In this series, we educate real estate agents on how to find success in the industry and grow their wealth to six-figure commissions and beyond. Now here is your host, Sean Moloney.
Welcome to episode 268, Exclusive Buyer Agency Agreements. I'm your host, Sean Patrick Moloney. Thanks for joining me this week. Guys, if you're anything like me, you're wondering, what is this NAR settlement gonna mean to my future in real estate? How am I gonna get past it? What am I gonna need to do? The truth is, we all don't know yet, right? But we can analyze what they're talking about, we can project the future, and we can at least be somewhat ready for what the future holds. Today's episode, we're gonna go over some of the things you need to think about with exclusive buyer agency agreements, some of the things we've been doing in the past, and how maybe it isn't the biggest deal ever. If you haven't done so yet, make sure to pound the subscribe button, check us out on realfactsonrealestate.com, and of course, share it with all your friends in the real estate industry. They need it more than they know. They need it more than ever as we move into this uncharted territory of buyer agency agreements being required for all MLS subscribers. All right, guys, without further ado, let's get started. First off, let's talk a little tiny bit about the NAR settlement. One of the biggest things to remember in the NAR settlement is it is not settled yet. The DOJ still needs to rule on it as of when I made this podcast, so some things might change. But the two heavy hitters, the two big pieces to remember, one, buyer agency compensation cannot be listed on the MLS system anymore. Number two, buyer's agents must work within a buyer's agency agreement for all MLS subscribers. So remember, if you're not an MLS subscriber, you're not an NAR member, you're not involved in any of this, you may be able to still do business as usual. That said, with all the other agents doing it, because NAR is not every agent, but they are so big, it kind of creates the standards. I know they're a private organization, they are not a company, but they are membership driven. It still is a huge amount of the real estate agents. Now, an exclusive agency agreement just states, right, that the buyer is going to work with you and you only as their agent. Now, the timeline, how's that work? Well, you can do anything. You could do a 1 day, you could do a one house, you could do a 1 year, you could do a 2 year, you could do no expiration date. You can put in the terms you want for that exclusive buyer agency agreement, but ultimately it guides the rules to how you're going to work together. It tells things like to the client, after getting a pre-approval, you share it with me. If you go to open houses, you'll tell them about me. If you see a house you like, you'll send it to me. It goes over the general guidelines for you and the buyer to find success together. So honestly, not the worst thing going. I know for a lot of you, the cringing, you're going, upon the first meeting, before I go into a house, I have to get an exclusive buyer agency agreement. But one of the things I want to point out to you guys is there's already been 18 states where this is already mandatory, right? We already have to work in an exclusive buyer agency agreement in Arkansas, Alaska, Georgia, Idaho, Maryland, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, New Hampshire, North Carolina, North Dakota, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, Utah, Vermont, Virginia, Washington, and Wisconsin. And from the research that I've done, the locals are saying that it actually works out great when every single agent has to produce this document. There is no other option. The buyers are more educated about it, more aware of it, and more ready to sign. So for some of us that will be piloting this program, I guess we all will be, but I know some of you guys aren't gonna do the right thing. You're gonna get yourselves in trouble, can already tell. But for those who do, it might be a little challenge, but we can educate about what happened with the settlement, why it's important, and how we're now going to work under basically more clarity, right? In the past, I believe it was pretty clear. It was listed on the MLS system, but shame on the MLS system for forever trying to fight things like Zillow and all the other ones who wanted to make the information public. I think had we rewound and NAR and MLS had decided to cooperate a long time ago with the public and given the information, we wouldn't be in this bind we are. But for whatever reason, all the way back to when I started in real estate where not everything was listed online, and even before that where they used to hide addresses, they've been off to a bad start, and that's why we have Zillow, and that's why we have Redfin and so many other competitors, because they've decided to hide the information. Now, the transparency will help out big time, right? When we're working with the buyers, they'll know what's going on, they'll know where their agent, and they'll know. When I go to call on another house, when I think about another house, I'm gonna reach out to you versus reaching out to another agent. So when we have always worked with sellers, right? We never list a house without an exclusive right to sell or an exclusive agency agreement or other document that says we have the right to commission if we sell that house. Now we're seeing that roll into buyer's agency. So all the hooting and hollering and all the different things really don't matter, because at the end of the day, this is best, guys. We're going to be working under a contract. We're going to be guaranteeing our pay. Now, some elements I want you to think about and that may be ruled on is you want to think about timeline. How long is it good for? You want to think about compensation. How much money are you being compensated? Who are you being compensated by? Are you looking for compensation from your buyer, which they're going to have to know and they're going to have to be able to fund? Or are you looking from it the seller side? Now, the NAR agreement or settlement, whatever we want to call it, doesn't say cooperating compensation is going away. It just simply says it can't be listed on the MLS anymore. Commercial real estate has been doing this for years. In commercial real estate, when you put in an offer or a letter of intent or other things, oftentimes it's not uncommon to put in your commissions or to talk to the other agent about what will the commissions be if this works out. In this new world for us in residential real estate, the same thing's going to work out. Believe it or not, the government will figure out new ways. They will change certain loans. I know some of you might be red flagging right now. Hey, listen, hey, what about the veterans? The veteran buyer can't pay commissions. I do understand that. That's part of the VA guidance right now. But that's because the laws didn't exist the way they're going in the future. Just like everything else, when they rewrite laws, they have to think about the daisy chain effect, the ones underneath it. What laws are affected by this change? And how can we fix those laws so that all the laws align the way that we need them to in order to protect the consumer, in order to make do for this new change and make everything work? So guys, one of the biggest things I want to tell you is you're already doing great. You're out there educating yourself about this right now and you're staying current. Stay current, pay attention to what's going on, changes are going to happen. And remember, once the DOJ rules, then it's the law, then it's the rules we need to follow. But for now, my suggestion to you would be get into using the exclusive buyer agency agreements. Even if you're just using the Massachusetts Association one or whatever state you're in, getting used to using that, getting used to presenting it is going to help you tenfold for when the real one comes out. Will the MAR one change? Will your own personal ones from your brokerage change? Of course, these new rules are going to have some new implications to the agreement and those changes will be made. But getting used to that first appointment, not just being showing a house, but being an education to the buyer about the buying process and what the exclusive buyer agency agreement means is the difference between being successful and being unsuccessful in this industry. Guys, I know so many of you are already out there using the exclusive buyer agency agreement, listening to this, laughing, going, haha, I told you guys a long time ago, great job. For those who aren't, don't worry about it. Learn, move on, and get over it. Guys, 2024 is going to be a crazy year in real estate. We're going to see a mass exodus. We're going to see all sorts of change. But I know you guys listening to this episode, and I know how much you like to learn. I can tell already you're going to be successful. Thanks again for listening. If you haven't already done so, pound that subscribe button. Tell all your friends in real estate about this great free podcast, helping educate them on all the future things real estate. And check us out on the web, realfactsinrealestate.com. Thanks again. Have a great week.